Jude verse 8.
Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries.
Verse 9.
Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves.
So, as verse 8 starts and says, this likewise what? Likewise, the three examples he just gave in the previous verses. The rebel Israelites, the fallen angels, the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we study all that. So, it's linking with the verses before. And here, Jude will point out three marks, three characteristics of the apostates. Let's rewind. What is apostasy? What is an apostate? An apostate is somebody who heard the truth, professed to know the truth, says, "I believe in that," but his lifestyle, her lifestyle, denies that same truth. This person truly, as Paul says, professing to know God, denies God and all godliness through his or her lifestyle and maybe even teaching. An apostate is someone that says, "I embrace truth," but truly denies everything. What does Jude says about the marks of the apostates? First of all, he defines, he gives a definition, and he says, they all are delusional. Their thinking is delusional. Jude says, like dreamers, their theology is a theology of the dream world. When they speak about the truth, they have to say that they have to talk about their visions and their dreams. They cannot quote chapter and verse. They dreamers, they delusional. When you have time, you read that quote on Jeremiah chapter 23, when the prophet exposes the apostates in old Israel, he says, and they speak about God, but they speak about the dreams and visions of their heart, not from the Word of God. The same thing. It is the Word that judges every dream and every revelation and every vision, not the other way around. Paul in Colossians chapter 2 warns us Christians not to be drawn towards asceticism and mysticism and New Age garbage of deep knowledge and second experiences. And Paul says, because those things don't add anything to your Christian life, they only serve for people to pride themselves in their supposed supernatural knowledge. Get away from that. Get into the Word, the Bible says. That's what you need to know. Not something so special that nobody knows. What God wanted you and me to know is in the Word. But if you don't read it, then you don't know it. So first of all, they are delusional. That teaching is not based on a word, but on some kind of mystic experience. And as I said, everybody has an experience. Even the guy that crossed his legs on a lotus position and spent 2 hours looking at his belly button, he says he had an experience. Secondly, he says they disregard authority. We saw that in 2 Peter. They disregard all kind of authority, angelic authority. They disregard church authority. They disregard any authority, and above all, they disregard the authority of the Word and deny the Lordship of Christ in their lives. And Jesus pointed out the problem when He says, "Why do you call Me Lord, Lord, but you don't do anything I tell you to do?" They profess to know God, but their lifestyle denies the Lordship of Christ in their lives. They're rebels. They deny the authority of God in their lives. Jesus says, "Don't call Me Lord, Lord, if you don't do My will. You're wasting your time." They deny His Lordship, the authority of His Word. Their Word is always above the written Word of God. Their visions, their dreams, their revelations are always superior to the Word of God. Jesus says, "I don't know you." And it's interesting that Jude tells us an incident that we don't find in any other place in Scripture, when he talks about the subjection of the holy angels to the authority of God. And he picks up the highest example, not just an angel, but an archangel, Michael. And he says, "And even Michael, an angel of such authority, a defeater of Satan, he himself does not claim his authority, but he claims the Lord's authority when he rebukes Satan." We read in the Old Testament, if you go back in the Old Testament and you read when Moses died, that the Lord commanded Michael, the funeral of Moses, and bury him in an unknown place. Satan fought with Michael, according to Jude. What was the purpose of Lucifer here? Well, Lucifer wanted to create another Lourdes or another Fatima of pilgrimage, of idolatry. If the people of Israel knew where Moses was buried, that would turn that place a place of idolatry, the worship of man and not of God. And that's what Satan wanted to do with the body of Moses. Because the business of Satan is always the worship of self and of man. He is the first rebel. Lucifer is the first rebel. And what he wanted from the beginning is the worship that belongs to God. And till today, if he can turn man to worship man and the achievements of man, he got his job done. So these apostates want always to be in the spotlight, to be the focus of attention. That's the deceit of Satan in their lives. Thirdly, Jude says here, verse 8 and verse 10, they defile the flesh, which is another way of saying they are immoral. Peter already taught us that in 2 Peter. Verse 10 says they are corrupt like irrational animals. What is he trying to say? Look at verse 19. Anybody reads verse 19, we're looking for a word there to define the apostates.
These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit.
The word sensual is the word fleshly. They live for the senses. They live for the flesh. They are also immoral. They only consider their senses what is earthly, what is material, what is of their flesh. They don't consider what is eternal. So Peter says they live like beasts. The second mark is their demise, their curse. In verse 11 we're going to read starts with the word "oh." Let us read verse 11.
"Woe to them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah."
So now Jude picks up three examples of three apostates from the Old Testament. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Three apostates in the Old Testament to show us what they did and what happened to them. It's going to be again a repeat of the same movie. They're going today to do the same stuff, but the same judgment also will come upon the apostates. Let us look briefly. The first example is Cain. And he talks about the way of Cain. Underline that. The way of Cain. You could read in Genesis chapter 4 the story there. God had revealed His way to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve taught their children God's way. You can only approach God with a sacrifice because you're a sinner. But all along the day comes when Cain and his brother bring offerings to the Lord. And Cain says, well, I don't think God's way is right. I have a better idea. I'm going to approach God in another way without a sacrifice. He invents his own religion. How to approach God. And the word religion just means that. How to approach God. And Cain rejects God's way to establish his way. And he then sat down and wrote a song that Frank Sinatra made it well known. I did it my way. And my friend, you can do it your way and go to hell. Or you can choose to do God's way and go to heaven. There are many ways to get to hell, but there's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. And if you don't come through me, you won't get there. Are you in God's way, or are you still like Cain doing your way? Secondly, we are reminded of that verse in the book of Proverbs. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it's the way of death and destruction. Secondly, there's Balaam, and there's the error of Balaam. What was his error? He thought that because he had the title of a prophet, he could do things his way too. He thought that he could go against God's revelation of blessing Israel and somehow twist the thing and go around God's way of doing it. He just fooled himself. He knew the truth in his mind, but he thought he could somehow compromise. Why did he think he could talk God into accepting his way of doing things? Because he was paid a lot of money by the king of the Moabites. Money, 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 money. Because of the pay. And the apostates are interested, do you know in what? This. If they don't see this, they're packing and going somewhere else. So the Bible talks extensively in the New Testament about Balaam. We study 2 Peter, talks about the way of Balaam. The way of selling your gifts for material things. Jude talks about the error of Balaam. And Revelation chapter 2 talks about the doctrines of Balaam. What are his doctrines? To compromise the Christian with the world. And try to arrange a marriage between darkness and light. And he led the people of God into immorality. That's the doctrine of Balaam. But we have another rebel, another apostate that Jude talks about, and his name is Korah. You can read that in Numbers chapter 16. And Korah belonged to the family of the Levites, where the priests in Israel came from. But God didn't call him to be a priest, but he wanted to be that. So he got some friends together with him. He started gossiping about God to 150 other guys together. And they came to Aaron, the high priest, and Moses, and says, why can't I lead here? And we see that Korah, the apostate, his motive was power and control, fame, a name for himself. The apostate is a rebel, and God will judge them. But now we have a description, verse 12 and 13, of these apostates, I believe, in such beautiful, beautiful illustrations that give you an idea, a vision right in front of you, if you can't see all these pictures. Five pictures of an apostate. Verse 12 and 13. Let us read. So first, Jude says they are hidden reefs. That's the literal translation. Hidden rocks below the water level. And we know Florida is very famous for that. There's still so many ships that sunk off the coast of Florida because of reefs. You don't see them. Too late. You hit them and the old ships would go down. They came secretly in the midst of God's people. And they work in hiding, sinking the local church. They feed themselves in your love feasts. This was a custom of the church in the first century to be able to help the poor among the brethren. There would be the meal after the service called the love feast, potluck supper, and the purpose was to serve the poor among the church. But it says they came in, took advantage of Christian love to serve and feed themselves. They're not there to serve Christ. Their goal is to serve their own purpose and their own agenda. Hidden reefs in the midst of the church with the purpose of serving themselves. Secondly, they are waterless clouds. And we know that in the Palestine it's so dry, it does not rain often. And if the farmer saw the rain coming, what a blessing would be for the crops. But how sad to see the clouds going by and not shedding one drop of water. Promise a lot, but delivers nothing. They are waterless clouds. Thirdly, they are fruitless trees. And I like the translation that says fruitless autumn trees, because we are in the autumn here, in the fall. Now, why the emphasis on the autumn? Because in Israel, this was harvest season. And if the farmer goes to the field to pick up whatever, the apples or the figs, and he gets to the tree and there's no fruit, how disappointing. A harvest without fruit. But there's one more detail according to Jude. The reason why there's no fruit is that actually they've been uprooted. They're not linked to the soil that could give them life. They're not in Christ. They have a lot of the appearance, but they don't have the most important thing, the fruit, because they're not in the soil, the life-giving soil that is the Lord Jesus Christ. They uprooted. My friends, it is the fruit in a Christian life that shows if you are Christian or not. Some believers get all dazzled with the gifts of the Spirit. But you know what? Satan can imitate every single gift of the Spirit. But one thing Satan cannot imitate is the fruit that only the Spirit can produce. Satan cannot produce love, cannot produce joy, cannot produce self-control, cannot produce goodness. He can produce and imitate every single gift. And if you're dazzled by the gifted guys, then you are fooled by every apostate that comes your way. What Satan cannot imitate, he's the fruit, because that can only come if you are in Christ. So, I like old J. Vernon McGee, he said, I don't judge anybody, but I'm a fruit inspector. Jesus says, by their fruit you will know them. And I love a great quote by John Calvin, that great reformer. He says, my friends, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is never alone. Produces fruit. Faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone because it will show itself in fruits. But then they also are wild sea waves. You, when you have time, read Isaiah 57. Isaiah says, the wicked is like the raging sea, living mire and dirt in its wake. It's like the raging sea because there's no peace. And we know when hurricanes go through the seacoast, that like Friday just did in Haiti, you look at the seacoast, what do you see? Debris all over the place. And after the apostates, like wild waves of raging sea, go through a church, what they leave behind is destruction and garbage and dirt in their path. That's all they leave behind. And finally, Jude says they like wandering stars, like meteors. You see them in a great night. We call shooting stars. You see the flash of light. In 2 seconds, they're gone. You see nothing. They come with great interest, great appear. They like firecrackers. Go up fast. Go out fast. These are a description of the apostates. All these pictures report to us what apostates are and do, and also their judgment from God. My friends, a lot of people come to the evangelical church today because there's a star in the platform, or a couple of stars in the platform. A lot of the churches today, people come to church looking for the stars. You will find them. Apostates are all over the place. You will find the stars. But my prayer is that you will find the morning star, the Lord Jesus Christ, not the man, the Lord Jesus. And that you put your eyes in the morning stars, not on wandering stars. They come and go. And the difference between the wandering stars, as Jude teaches us, and Jesus, the morning star, is that the morning star is always in its place. It's permanent. It's constant. But the shooting stars of man that come with so many gifts, these are nothing but falling stars. And my question today is, are you after falling stars, or are you with your eyes in Jesus, the morning star? The last page of your Bible, Revelation 22, he says, I am Jesus, the bright and the morning star. I'm coming. Look up. Take away your eyes from man and these wandering stars that are in every church you go. Jude says, you will be following another apostate. But put your eyes in Jesus. Follow Christ. This morning star, stable, steady, who loves you and who comes for His own. He will come. Do you have your eyes in man's, in stars, or do you have your eyes in faith in Jesus, the morning star?